If you're curious about homeschooling but you just don't know where to start, this is the episode for you. In this episode, I'm going to go over the 7 steps you need to take in order to start homeschooling before you even crack open a book. And just so you know, curriculum is not in the top 4 of those steps, okay? So my experience here is that I've been homeschooling. This is our 5th year. I homeschool my youngest, who is 11, and we've done it for a variety of reasons. But I wish I had these 7 steps before I started. I was thrown into homeschooling back in 2019. They repealed the religious exemptions for vaccines in New York State. And at the time, I felt like I had no choice but to just jump into homeschooling on a temporary basis. That was the plan. But that's not how it worked out. We did end up homeschooling for the remainder of that year. And then we moved to North Carolina with one of the intentions of going to public school. My son did go to public school for a year. And then at the end of the year, or the beginning of the next school year, actually, we talked about it, and some other stuff had gone on, and he was like, I really just want to go back to homeschooling. So I made it work. And again, I'm a single mom who homeschools and works from home, so I promise you, if I can do it, you can do it. But let's get into the 7 steps. So first step is you want to check your state requirements. So your state will have different requirements than other states, but they'll be listed. There'll be some kind of education department or homeschooling department where you can find out your actual state rules. You want to make sure that you look these up for yourself. Please, what you do not want to do is ask in your local homeschooling Facebook group what you need to do for the state. Because at the end of the day, the bottom line is that you need to know. If for some reason you get audited or somebody calls on you and your kids are marked absent and truant, and somebody shows up at your door, which is not that often from what I understand, but if that happens, you have to make sure that you have been abiding by all the state rules. So definitely go to your state website and figure out what their requirements are. There is a resource that will help you. It's called the HSLDA. It's the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. On their website, they have a lot of the state requirements listed and the link to go check it out for yourself. So I would definitely start there. While we're on the topic of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, their organization basically provides legal support if for some reason your state or your school district where you are is giving you a hard time and not following the law. Believe it or not, they do that a lot. There is one school district here that is not the one that I am in, but the one that borders us, that consistently gives homeschoolers wrong information and tries to get them to adhere to standards that are not required by the state. You could use their legal defense there if, for God forbid, Child Protective Services or Child Family Health Services, whatever it is in your state, is contacted. They would also represent you there. There's a small fee. I think it's maybe $150 or $200 a year now that you pay in order to be part of this. And then they'll represent you. And they have a phone number where you can call and ask for legal recommendations. Anyway, that's just a really good group to be a part of. Okay, so the first one, very simple. Look up your state requirements. The second one, evaluate why you want to homeschool. You don't want to skip this step. I know it's very simple. Be like, of course, it's everybody wants to homeschool for the right reasons or the same reasons and wrong. Some people don't want the government overreach. Some people don't like what's happening in the schools today. Some people don't like the actual education system and think it should be either more rigorous or less rigorous. And they want to take charge of their education of their kids themselves. Some of them want to teach more life skills than academic subjects. Some of them want a more relaxed lifestyle. Some of them, there's so many, you get the idea. There's so many different reasons to homeschool. I want you to sit down and say, what appeals to you personally about homeschooling? Why do you as a parent want to homeschool? What does that homeschool environment look like to you? Like the perfect, dream up the perfect homeschool scenario. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to happen, but dream it. You can get close. Dream it up. with that's also step number three would be to figure out what is your current lifestyle, because you don't want to dream up a homeschool scenario or vision where you're going from, you know, this group to that group to this group to that group, and you're going on field trip after field trip, and you go to the library every Monday, and you do all this, and you're really just, you're a homebody, and half your kids are homebodies. That's not going to fit in your lifestyle. Do you want a more relaxed lifestyle? Do you like a more scheduled routine lifestyle where you have a school room? I'm going to tell you right now, that's not required. Homeschool is not school at home. However, because you're the boss, you can set it up however you want. So one of the reasons I love homeschooling is because I am more of a relaxed, non-schedule type of person. Now, do we have routines? Sure. Do we schedule some things? Yes. Are we parts of groups and do the same thing from a week to week basis? Yes, absolutely. But I like not having to rush at night in order to get my son into bed at a certain time. And I'm not saying he doesn't have bedtime. He does. But it's not, it's not the back of the mind thinking where you're like, oh shoot, if he's not feeling good, or he's up late tonight and we just didn't get it together, or this baseball ran over, this means we're not getting into bed on time, and then he's going to be tired in the morning. Like, I don't have those anxious thoughts surrounding rushing to bed or getting up super early in the morning, because that's the kind of lifestyle that I like. So make sure you include and figure out what kind of lifestyle you currently lead and want to lead, and how homeschool will fit into that, instead of you trying to fit homeschool into, no, instead of trying to fit your lifestyle into a homeschool idea that you have. Okay. I hope that made enough sense. Step four, I want you to research and look at homeschool styles. Now, you don't necessarily have to choose one, but you're probably going to lean towards a few. They probably are going to stand out more than others for you. Again, a lot of it depends on your own experience from school, being a kid, being in the school system, if you were, or if you were homeschooled, or if you had friends that were homeschooled, or if you had friends in private school versus public school, all of that. Like, all of that is going to come into these preset notions that you have about what homeschool should look like. And I just want to encourage you to just let those go for a little bit and look at the research and also the different types of homeschool styles. So there's four main ones. There's a traditional or classical education style. So classroom setting, often using textbooks, workbooks, structured schedule, if you want that more structured learning environment. Then there's a Charlotte Mason. This is a very popular homeschooling style. Her approach focuses on living books, nature studies, art, and music. It also has a lot of narration, which is basically just the kids repeating back to you what they've learned, but it's a lot of reading, a lot of reading. Now, living books, and Charlotte Mason, this was, I believe she was early 1900s, maybe 1800s, I'm not sure, but whenever she came up with her education system, it's very classic, old school reading. Living books were basically not textbooks. They were books written by people who had experienced that subject or topic, and then high quality literature for fiction. And I tend to lean towards this, except I do like to pull in a lot of modern aspects, a lot of more modern books. We're a heavy reading family here in general, so it made sense for me to go with Charlotte Mason from the beginning. Let me go over the four styles and I'll tell you what I did. The next one would be unschooling. So if you had a piece of paper and you put on a spectrum, on the left would be classical or traditional homeschooling, and then all the way on the right would be unschooling. So it's either traditional school or no school at all. And I know you're saying, why would I possibly do no school at all. There is a lot of research that says unschooling is a great way for kids to be self-sufficient, self-directed, and really own their own education journey. So that this style places the center in the child at the center. It's child-led learning. They get to decide what they're learning about. There's not necessarily curriculum or schedule, but if they choose that's how they learn best, then they get to do that. So I'll talk about that one in a second. And then the last style is really an eclectic or relaxed mix of all of the styles. You pick and choose what you want to do. You combine different approaches and you try to make it work for your kids or for individual kids. If you have children with very different learning styles or strengths, you might need to be eclectic and mix and match to tailor their education to each individual child. That's important sometimes. I would say if I am one out of these, it would definitely be eclectic because I've mixed and matched probably most of these. I've not done a lot of the textbook or traditional classic homeschooling. I have done a lot of Charlotte Mason approach, like I said. I started off with a little bit of traditional, going subject by subject at his age, making sure we touched on every subject every day, doing some workbooks and worksheets, and a lot of heavy reading. From the beginning, I agreed with the Charlotte Mason approach with, you can learn just about anything through a book. Like, one of the things I say a lot is, there's a book for that. Like, you want to learn about gardening? There's a book for that. You want to learn about whales? There's a book for that. You want to learn about quantum physics? There's a book for that. And it's not always a textbook, right? So there's lots of different ways. I've stuck with heavy focus on reading. Now, I did for 2 years go and just straight up, I would say, unschooling, not radical unschooling. There's different levels, obviously, to each one of these styles too. I didn't go full radical unschooling, but I did go into unschooling for 2 straight years. And I'm finding that just didn't really work for us. Now, will I bring aspects of that into my eclectic, relaxed homeschool? Yes, because I believe in children being able to go down the rabbit holes that interest them and be able to let go of the things that don't really interest them. Because let's face it, if your child is not good at math, they are not going to become an engineer. If they dislike history, they're not going to be a history teacher. So yes, it's important to expose them to different topics and different things. And there's a million different ways to do that. But I don't believe in forcing certain subjects. So we do a mix of self-directed, hands-on learning, child-led, reading-based, and then mix and match everything else. That's where I stand. Okay, so that was number 4. There are some websites that have quizzes that you can take if you have no idea what you like, what you want, what's beneficial, what you think your kids would like. There are some quizzes out there that would help you and help you navigate and decide which style you lean towards. Okay. Once you have that figured out, now we can look at curriculum. Okay. Because if you're Charlotte Mason leaning and you want to rely heavily on non-textbooks and reading living books and doing nature studies outside, you're probably not going to choose something like Abeka, which is textbook heavy, or Power Homeschool, which is by subject online, like a more traditional school-led. So you need to know what style you're leaning towards to find what curriculum you want. And there are a bazillion curriculums available. You can find what you need. You can also mix and match. Keep your budget in mind because there are free options. You, for the first couple of years, and I'd almost say still, I homeschool for pretty cheap, but for the first year or two, I would say I homeschooled for almost free. The library is your friend. So keep in mind budget, but also you need to know what your style is before you even look at curriculums. Don't even go there until you've figured out exactly what you want your homeschool to look like. You will find a curriculum that fits what you want instead of you doing it the other way around. Okay, so step six is finding homeschool groups. I'm sure you've got a lot of homeschool groups in your area. Even in New York, where there's not a lot of homeschool population, the groups are still around. And if you don't find something you like, if you're a leader, make your own group. Go on Facebook, find groups in your area. That's where most of them hang out. Ask in your local mom's group if you're part of that, or if people that are in homeschool. Go to the library in the middle of the day. You will run across some homeschoolers. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. Especially if they have around the times, I would say like mid-morning or right after lunch, because that's when homeschoolers tend to, they're done with their other things for the day. They're done with lunch. They go. Or sometimes if they're bigger families, they have smaller kids. So they're there at the toddler time type of thing for their smaller kids. And then the bigger kids go and do their work, whatever. So my point is, you will be able to find groups in your area. My advice is to not join too many of them. When I first moved to North Carolina, I was so excited because we were in the number two county for homeschoolers. Like the county that had the most homeschoolers in it. There was only one other county above where I lived. There was a big military presence, so there was just a ton of homeschoolers and a ton of homeschool groups. And I was so excited coming from New York where there weren't a lot of groups. So I signed up for everything and easily, very quickly, became burnt out and said, I think I signed up in August, September. By December, I was like, okay, something's got to give. We can't be out all this time. Because I don't like that kind of lifestyle. Again, I have a friend who is in a bazillion different groups. She loves that kind of lifestyle. So it just really depends on your style as well. So find groups, definitely join some so that your kids can be social, all the things. And then the seventh step, and this is probably the most controversial, is to de-school. De-school is not the same as unschool. Unschool is an education method. D-school is basically deprogramming yourself and your kids from the, I'm going to say American education system because that's where I am, but from a traditional education system in general. All the subconscious things that we have learned as parents and that our kids have learned, then you're just automatically bringing that into your homeschool. And you want to deprogram yourself a little bit. Give yourself time. 3 to 6 months of doing nothing. I know that seems like a lot. I know that you're thinking, that's a long time to miss out on education. You want me just to not do anything for the next 6 months? That's half a year for my child's going to be behind. I'm going to challenge your thinking of behind what? Who sets those standards? Are you going by the school standards? Are you going by the state or a traditional education system standards of grades and subjects and that they need to learn XYZ before they're this age? Maybe you do need to de-school some more. Do you see where I'm going here? Those thoughts are automatic in us. And I had to go through that. It took a long time. But I wish I went through a period of just deprogramming our brains for a little while when it comes to homeschooling and what it looks like on a day-to-day basis and all of those things that we automatically do because school taught us. Raising our hand, sitting still, asking to go to the bathroom, all of those things. None of that belongs in an educational environment. That's my opinion. But my point is, there's a lot of preconceived notions that you have and that your kids have learned if they've been in any type of school, even preschool. They've learned how to comply with things like that. And maybe you just need to let them go for a little bit. Now, I'm not saying sit home and do nothing and let your kids play on their iPads all day. That's not what I'm saying. But you could just go out and go to a playground all the time. Take nature walks. Go to meet up with some other homeschoolers, even if it's not an official group, or just find some groups and try them out. You don't have to join them. You could just try them. You could also do field trips. If you want to keep some education in there, then just do the fun things. Do the things that they do on those like fun days in school. You know what I'm talking about? Like right before a holiday vacation or right before they let out for the summer. What do? They do field trips. They do field day outside. They have fun days of dressing up and doing this and that. They also watch movies that are slightly educational. There's so much. You could just focus on nature and art and being creative and watching some movies that include educational types of things and field trips. That could be in your whole homeschool if you wanted it to. They would learn enough, but that's definitely part of a de-schooling time. So there it is, your 7 steps to take before you start homeschooling. Let me recap. 1 is state requirements. Learn what those are. 2, evaluate why you want to homeschool. 3, include what you want your lifestyle to be. 4, what is your homeschool style? 5, choose your curriculum. 6, join local groups. And 7, make sure you have a very long period of de-schooling yourself and your kids before you start homeschooling. Okay? If you have any questions about this or want me to talk about another topic on this podcast, please by all means comment and make sure you share this with another homeschooler or someone looking to homeschool, and have a great day.